O blessed funeral. O blessed funeral. O blessed loss. I wonder, have you ever heard this statement at a funeral? You who are here today mourning the loss of a loved one, you are supremely blessed indeed. Have you ever heard that? I think not. In fact, I am certain I have never heard such a thing. Neither will I ever. Nor heard of such an occurrence from someone else telling me that they heard it. Yet so many times the words of the Redeemer in the Sermon on the Mount here, where he says in verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So many times, so often, the words of the Son of God are twisted in such a fleshly way by will-worshipping, so-called evangelical believers. Some who would even dare to claim they believe the gospel of God's free sovereign grace. Yet talking to someone, even yesterday, who proverbially runs with the foxes and hunts with the hounds, 1 minute believes the free sovereign grace, but twists it another way when it suits. That's not the true believer. Yet in these words, spoken on the mount by the Lord himself, God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, there are a people promised great blessing indeed, and they are only such as mourn. That's what he says here. The blessed ones are the ones who mourn. Those are his words. These people alone will know the comfort of God. And so what is he saying? Well, it is absolutely certain, dead certain, that he is not talking about the mourning of the loss physically of loved ones. He's not talking of that. Although those who lose loved ones, they go through a period, some out of some kind of a tradition, some who just choose to do it. Some people change their clothing, don't they, in this world. They change their clothing and they'll put on dark clothing, maybe for a couple of years, to indicate that they are mourning. To indicate that they are not comforted. But also in the spiritual, in the things of the acknowledging of sin, we see throughout the scriptures, in the Old Testament, a putting on of an apparel. It was indeed spoken of here in Isaiah 61, which we read a few moments ago. Sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes. Until such people came to know the comfort of God's forgiveness. That was an indication that such a one was repentant of sin. Was mournful at sin. Sackcloth and ashes. But firstly, as we look at these wonderful words from the Saviour, These wonderful words that declare to us the glory of the gospel of grace. We see again this word blessed. And we briefly look at it again. For the word means to be, as I've said at the outset, supremely, supremely blessed. To be well off and happy. Well off. When we speak of those who are well off, we would consider those who, on the face of it to us, it would appear they don't have a care. They don't have the cares that we have. They don't have to struggle like we have to, materially. They're well off. They're at their ease, sitting back at their ease. Well, there is to the people of God, there is to the people of God, in this context, of being well off. Of being well off. Hebrews 4 tells us there remains a rest to the people of God. A rest. Now that's not talking about a day. That's not talking about anything physical. It's talking about a rest from the endless drudgery, the endless anguish, the endless pain, the endless disappointment of not being able to shrug off that which holds us down. That sin, that knowing we are condemned before God. There remains a rest for the people of God. And that rest is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Sabbath. We have entered into rest in Him. We are supremely blessed in Him if we know the Lord Jesus. Do you know this rest? Have you entered into this rest? As we saw last time in verse 3, the poor in spirit are truly rich. When they come to know themselves to be spiritually paupers, they see themselves now to be rich above all else in Christ Jesus. As one and the same now, as the one who mourns. You see, God rejects the proud. God rejects the proud. But the other side of that is that He lifts up out of the dunghill. Out of the dunghill. He lifts up such as are the humble, such as are those who mourn. For secondly, who is it that mourns? Who is it that mourns here? We saw last time, the fact is, blessed are the poor in spirit. That not all are poor in spirit. All are, yes, poor in spirit, spiritually bankrupt before God, but not all know themselves to be. Not all own themselves to be. Not all acknowledge themselves to be. And the same here. The same here. Last time, seeing the blessed are the poor in spirit, the one coming to Christ knows themselves to be spiritually bankrupt, having nothing to offer, having nothing to even declare before God that they have done, and that tax collector in the temple, not even so much as raising an eye to heaven, helpless. The one who mourns here, as the Saviour speaks of here, says, all I have, contrary to the mourning of the loss in this world, contrary to a mourning of a loss, this mourning speaks of wanting to be rid. It's mourning of what you have. And that's how these words can never be spoken of the physical realm, because it speaks of a mourning at what we have that we wish to be rid of. It makes us mourn. It makes us weep. It makes us to be so brought down low. To be released of that which burdens you. As the pilgrim in the book Pilgrim's Progress, with that load on his back, he mourned at what he had. And when he looked back, to where he had left, the city of destruction, the only thing that tore his heart apart were those of his loved ones who refused. Who refused to believe what he believed. And laughed into scorn. He did not mourn at what he'd left behind. Ever. And when he was tempted to even so much as do so, he was brought back on the way. You see, the only one who can know peace with God must know this complete and utter crisis first. To know peace with God, to know joy before God, you must be brought to a broken heart. If your heart has never been broken at your sin, you don't know God. But if your heart be broken with sin, the promise is such ones will be comforted by God. Such ones will be brought to God. This is the only one that can know this state of blessedness. It only is you who, if you be brought to mourn at sin, to hate sin, the one who mourns in the physical realm, they mourn because they are so sad at what is so. They wish was not so. They wish the loss that they have endured is not so. And so here, the one who mourns at sin mourns that they know themselves to be a sinner before God, and they wish it were not so. They see sin as God sees sin, for it indeed grieves God. The one who is brought to mourn, to grieve at sin, is born again. Not by the grieving, but the outworking of this grieving shows they are born of God. Do you see the difference? You're not born of God because you decided to repent. You're not born of God because you believed. You believe, you repent of sin because you are a new creation now. I was even talking to someone yesterday about how another believer say, how we, the unbeliever, you know, as an unbeliever, you see, there is no consciousness of this striving against sin. We just go along our merry way. Only when we become born of God do we see as God sees, and we hate what we see. The one, yes, brought to be mourning is not at a point of death now. It is a positive. It is life. It is a sign of life eternal. As the Lord Jesus says to such as come to him, they have already passed from death to life before they came to him. Because God has worked that work of grace in the life and has indeed revealed Christ in you, the hope of glory. Has he revealed Christ in you? To see that you be nothing but sin. That's what it means to mourn. That's what it means to be supremely blessed. You must say with the Apostle Paul, which he continued to say as a believer, don't be tempted to believe what some people say, that Romans 7 is the Apostle Paul speaking as an unregenerate, sinful man. He's speaking of what continues to be his position before God. He's speaking of what was his position before God then, as it is now in the flesh. But yet you must be brought to see it. And to see that, you must be made born again. In my flesh dwells no good thing. For thirdly, what is the blessing that makes the one mourning supremely happy and well? What is this blessing? What is this great blessing? What is this wondrous, wondrous benefit? The Saviour says, comfort. Comfort. It's one of these words, isn't it? Yet again, that has so many meanings that people place to it. Comfort to so many things, to many people, speaks of material things. Speaks of being at that material ease. Speaks of possessions. Speaks of sitting comfortably on a cushioned seat, as opposed to sitting on the floor, being in comfort, having no worries, having no concerns. The one who has this comfort, though they have a concern, but their concerns are comforted. You see, if you never come to the point, the crisis point, to indeed fear God, you won't know the wisdom unto salvation. For the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And Christ Jesus is the wisdom unto salvation. But you won't know this wisdom unless you see, unless you're brought to this point where you are uncomfortable, then you will be comforted. What is this comfort? It's not a superficial humanitarianism. There be many who go around, and they may well do a good work, but it's a temporary work. However good a work anyone does for someone else, it's always a temporary work. It's always a temporary comfort. They will need comfort again. It will not last. One crisis will lead to another crisis. They can never be absolutely assured that they have been comforted forever. No, it's not a worldly comfort. This comfort is a comfort of peace. And as the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." Not as the world gives. What sort of peace does the world give? What sort of peace does the world give? When it speaks of peace, this sort of peace. Strings attached. Always strings attached. Always. Always conditions. See, any so-called peace treaty, you'll see there are strings attached. There is a condition behind it. Salvation with God. God's choosing to save his elect, to redeem his people at great cost, was and is totally and utterly unconditional. It's unconditional. The only qualification required is a poor spirit and a mournful heart, a broken and contrite heart. The only qualification is to know you have none. There is a far greater comfort the world than the world knows can give. A greater comfort than the world knows of. Nor can anyone in the world outside of God's grace and mercy. None can know it. Unless God reveal it. What is it? What is this comfort? The Saviour says here, of the ones mourning at sin, they shall be comforted. Comforted. It is meaning to call for, to be comforted by God, by the Saviour. He calls for you. He brings you. I call my sheep. I call them by name. They hear my voice. Fear not. It means to call for, to bring near. To bring near, to summon. But one big problem we know, one enormous problem. How can you come near to God? How can anyone come near to God? How can you know such comfort that when you come near to God, all is well? As we shall sing in a few moments' time, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. How can you be in such a position before God? For God is holy. God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. How can you come near to God, who will in no wise clear the guilty? For the one who mourns, is acknowledging their guilt, is acknowledging their sin. So surely God will then, with the one confessing sin, send them to the just punishment for their sin, to be found under the eternal wrath of God eternally. Sentence has been passed, surely. For it truly is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What comfort in this? You can only be coming to God Almighty and comforted if the burden of that which causes you to be weighed down and to mourn is released from you. We go back to Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. He came to the foot of the cross. And it was released from him. It is only at the cross of Christ, not a physical cross now, but that finished work of Christ Jesus. It is only by the finished work where Christ gave himself a propitiation for his people. A sin-bearing sacrifice, who indeed did bear the sins of his people on the cross, who indeed knew the Father forsaking him, turning his face away. It is only coming to this Christ Jesus. It is only then is it a comfort. But what a comfort it is. For this is what Christ said he came to do. He promised in Matthew 11:28, and he lies not. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will be comforted, he says. Brought near to God. Brought near to God, not in condemnation. Brought near to God and accepted now in the Beloved, who is Christ Jesus. How come? By the blood of a sacrifice acceptable to God. That's how. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, says the Scriptures. There is no remission, meaning there is no forgiveness. How blessed a state then if you be the one God causes to weep and mourn at sin and bring that sin to the Redeemer for cleansing in his blood. If you be brought even now, right now, by faith, if you believe on Christ Jesus, you believe on him and his finished work at the cross to cleanse you from all sin. What a blessed state. The Scriptures say it is to have your heart cleansed. Cleansed. What a wonderful word that is, cleansed. Not just cleaned. Not just cleaned. Those who clean, that you know you're going to end up cleaning again. You're going to end up cleaning again. It seems an endless task, doesn't it? You clean and you clean. How many people have ever cleansed their home? Cleansed. Cleansed speaks of permanence. Speaks of that which is remembered no more and seen no more. David says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Forgiven. Whose sin is covered. That's what it means to be blessed of God. And that's what it means to be comforted by God. To be cleansed, as we read in the book of the Hebrews, cleansed from a guilty conscience. Are you brought to know that today? You who know the Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessed comfort is yours. Even when you go through this life battling with sin, we continually come to this same Redeemer for fresh cleansing in the blood, and we know we're comforted because we've been brought near. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's comfort. That alone is comfort. To be brought near to God by the blood. And so see only such as will mourn at sin. Only they. Blessed are they that mourn. But they that mourn at sin, they are blessed indeed. That will mourn at sin will know what it means to be brought near to God. Not just to say sorry. Not to feel sorry for ourselves. Not to have a sense of foreboding. Not just to feel that, oh yes, well I know, yeah, nobody's perfect, but I'll do this. I'll do this to make myself better. That's not what it means. But such as will indeed come helpless, trusting by faith on the Son of God, will be lifted up. Brought near to God, to know the forgiveness of sin. See what he says, this great God says in Isaiah 57. For thus saith the high and lofty one. That inhabitant of eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. But this one receives sinners. He receives sinners through a mediator. And that one mediator between God and men is Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. What? Read these words again. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. God Almighty. God Almighty. The Holy One comes near and dwells with sinners. Can you get your head around that? But not all sinners, such as are of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive, to make alive now, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Contrite, meaning the bruised, crushed ones, mourning at sin. It's crushed and broken your heart. But God is dwelling with you and raises you up, revives you and brings you near and says, it is well with your soul now. Be of good cheer. Be comforted now. When Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, he came to his hometown Nazareth. He went and opened the scroll in that famous instance we read of in Luke 4. He read the scroll of Isaiah 61. verses 1 to 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim. The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. To proclaim even now. Today. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And the day of vengeance of our God. The gospel declares indeed, those who do not mourn at sin, are not brought to mourn at sin, will be justly punished for their sin. To comfort all that mourn. He then told his hearers in Luke 4:21. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they rejoiced, didn't they? Praise God! Hosanna in the highest! Lord, save us! They cried out that, didn't they? No. They didn't, did they? They rejected him. They sought to kill him. But why? Why? Because it wasn't made good news to them. Because they refused, as they remained, as Romans 8 tells us, at enmity, at war with God, saying no to God. They refused to accept themselves to be sinners. As Jesus said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician. They refused, as most people do. The majority of people do see themselves today as good and refuse to bow before God. And so what about you? What about you who hear this? Do you reject the Lord Jesus, the true Lord Jesus, the one who came and proclaimed the message of liberty and of comfort? Do you reject the Lord Jesus now? You may say, I believe on the Lord. I believe in Jesus. You're still rejecting the Lord Jesus if you're not brought to mourn at your sin. Thinking yourself to be okay somehow. Or are you caused right now to mourn at your sin? To feel yourself broken with nothing. Nothing. Nothing but that which troubles you that you wish you'd be rid of. Oh, what a blessed state you're in now. If your heart is brought low and broken before God, you are blessed beyond measure. For he will bring you near right now by his blood, cleanse you in that blood and comfort you. Bring you to God. To know that there is now, therefore now, no condemnation to you. You who know the Saviour, you know that as long as you live in the body of this flesh, you shall continue to be brought to be mourning at your sin. It's a sign of new life. It's a sign of life in Christ. We continue to hate sin. that which wars in your members, in your fleshly nature. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, He continually comforts you. He continually, as he says, succours you. He continually brings your soul to God by his perfect sacrifice. The sweet smelling savour unto God. For he ever lives to make intercession for us. To comfort us. That we say, it is well with my soul.